All right, let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 7. All right, we got 20 minutes to get through this, and I think we can. How many of you, let me ask you, bless you. Yeah. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever dreamed something and it didn't come true? It didn't. Yeah. Yep, a lot of them. Yeah. Okay. I think we've all been there. We've all had dreams of illusions of grandeur, and they fell through. But the key is, how do you react when that dream does not come through? How do you react? How do you go on? How does your life change? Okay? Well, you know, David had a dream of something. And it was a great dream. It was a good dream. It was not a selfish dream. It was one for God. But it died. And it died in a way that God said no. So let's look here at 2 Samuel chapter 7. And we'll go ahead and go through the introduction points and then get into point number one, and then we'll start going through the scripture, right? Introduction, first of all, number one, a major theme in today's leadership books and manuals is making sure your dreams come true. Okay, John Maxwell is a great writer of some great leadership books. I've read many, many of them. I've got them in my office. But they all talk about making your dream come true. Joel Osteen talks about it every Sunday morning. Making your dream come true. Joyce Meyer talks about it every Sunday morning. Making your dream come true. You know, many times though, God says, no. Your dream is not going to come true. Okay? It's just not. Secondly, but every great accomplishment, though, it does begin with a dream. Jim Valvano tells a story. You know, Jim Valvano's deceased now, but every year he would have one practice a year of where they did not practice basketball. They practice cutting down the nets. He said he had gold-plated scissors. He said they would come out on the court. They would take a ladder. The team manager would get a ladder. They'd take it underneath the goal. One by one, the player would go up, cut a portion of the net down. Then Valvano would climb up and he would cut the final part of the net, and they would celebrate winning the championship. And what was he teaching those players? Everything begins with a dream. We're going to practice now what we're going to do when we win it. So he was beginning to cast a vision in the minds of those players. So when they won it in 1983, their minds, every one of them said that our minds went back to those practices of where we practice cutting down the nets. They said that the first couple of times we did it, we thought, this dude's crazy. I mean, this is a joke. And then he said, as he kept doing it, we began to believe it. We began to see it. We began to see ourselves climbing the ladder and cutting down the net. Well, guess what they did in 1983? They cut down the nets. So everything does begin with a dream. And dreams are the motivation in one's quest to success. Pam Valvano tells a story that she would clean out his shirt pockets and his jacket pockets before she'd take his clothes to the cleaners. And she said she would always pull out these 3x5 cards. And they would say things like, win the national championship. Win the ACC tournament. Okay, there was always dreaming. He was always imagining something in his mind. And she said the last one that she took out was right after he had been diagnosed with cancer and been told you have 6 to 8 months to live. It was find a cure for cancer. And you know what's happened as a result of that is the Jimmy V Foundation that has raised millions for cancer research. Secondly, while there are many that have taken it too far, there is some truth to it. There are some that say that as long as you dream it, it will come true. No, it's not. But there is some, but if you don't have a dream, if you don't have a vision, you're going to go nowhere. If you don't set goals, you're going to hit nothing every time. I've got dreams of what's going to be built on these woods behind our church. I've got dreams of what's going to happen back there. It's not going to stay pine trees forever. Sorry, Noel. But sooner or later, those pine trees are going to get cut down. It would, because either a new sanctuary... Hey, let's face it, folks. We had 79 people in here this past Sunday. It was crowded. So if we continue to grow on this course that we're growing, we're either going to have to add another service on Sunday morning or we're going to have to build. We have 5.5 acres to build on. God didn't put us here for us to sit in here all the time. Okay? We're going to build back there. We're going to build another sanctuary, or at the very least, we're going to build another educational wing back there. We're going to need Sunday school rooms. We're going to need classrooms. Okay, we're going to need those things. You know, Hebrews 11, we're not going to take time to turn there, but Hebrews 11 talks about a man that had a dream. He was told by the Lord, hey, pack it up, move to a land that you have never been to. You've never seen it. You've never even heard of it. But trust me. Just trust me. And when you get there, I'll tell you. Who was that?
Abraham.
Number three, however, there are seldom any books in print that tell you how to go forward when your dream dies. How many of you have ever seen a book in a Barnes & Noble? You walk through the management section or the leadership section and said, make sure your dream comes true. How many of you have seen them? They're there. But I've never seen one that said, what do you do when your dream dies? Haven't seen it. Maybe I ought to write it. Okay, probably maybe one person will buy it. That person will be me. So let's go to number one, and that is a dream is born. A dream is born. Let's look at verses 1 through 3 of chapter 7. And it came to pass when the king, talking about David here, sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet. Now, let's stop here for a moment. I find it very important here that David, in time of rest from war, he surrounds himself with God's man. You will be who you hang out with. I find it very significant here that David is relying upon the wisdom of God's man. So let's continue on reading here. See now, I dwell in a house of cedar. Nice house. But the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. Or basically, it was in a tent. Nathan said to the king, go do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. All right, so a dream is born here. A couple of things here. The context of his dream was peace. Here's the context here. He was in peace. There was no war. There was no fighting. He is sitting at home in the safety of his house. And what does he think about? He thinks about the Lord. He thinks about, okay, what great thing here can I do for the Lord? And I don't think it was a selfish motive. I really think that his motive was, what could I do more for the Lord? Here we have once again, David is a man after what? God's own heart. Letter B, the concern of his dream was a place. What was that place? It was a place for the Lord. So a couple of points here underneath that. Number one, after years of fighting, David is now living a life of luxury and peace. He says, I'm living in this house made of cedar. Nice palace. Beautiful home. Secondly, while living in luxury, it occurs to King David that the Ark of the Covenant is in a less desirable place. He's thinking here, my house, I'm sitting in this nice house, these nice paneled walls, beautiful smell, I'm taken care of, but the Ark of the Covenant of where God's presence is in a tent. He said, what's wrong with this picture here? It should be the other way around. I should be in the tent while the Ark of the Covenant should be in here. And then thirdly, after the arrival of the Ark, things had changed. And that is the restitution of the Levites. The restitution of the Levites meant this. They were now practicing what the law said in the book of Leviticus and Numbers, Leviticus, of what the Levites were to do with the Ark of the Covenant. And that is to set up a tabernacle and to do the sacrificial duties of the Levitical priest. But then let us see, there's the confirmation of his dream was a prophet. Verse 3, Nathan said, go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with you. But now let's go to number 2. And that is, a dream is dead. It's dead. Let's go, if you would, to 1 Chronicles chapter 17. 1 Chronicles chapter 17. 1st, 2nd Kings, then Chronicles. Chapter 17, 1 through 6. All right, now it came to pass as David sat in his house that David said unto Nathan the prophet, lo, I dwell in a house of cedars, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remaineth under curtains. Then Nathan said unto David, do all that is in thine heart, for God is with thee. And it came to pass the same night that the word of God came to Nathan, saying, go and tell David my servant, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not build me an house to dwell in. For I have not dwelt in a house since the day that I brought up Israel unto this day, but have gone from tent to tent, and from one tabernacle to another. Wheresoever I have walked with all Israel, spake I a word to any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people, saying, why have ye not built me an house of cedars? So a couple of points here, and then we'll go home. Number one, David had a great dream with right motives. However, the answer from the Lord is no. Let me give you a little personal illustration here. Back in 1999, the Lord took Sean and me and Bradley and Morgan to Canoga Park, California. Small little town, may have heard, just a little suburb, may have heard of the other little town that's part of Los Angeles. Y'all ever heard of it? Okay, small little town, not very many people there. Our front yard, if you call it that, was Ventura Boulevard. Okay? A lot of cement. And while we were there, We would take little trips. Let me tell you something funny one day. We decided to go to Long Beach, California one Saturday. So we got up, we would take little day vacations. So we got up early on Saturday morning and said, "Hey, where have we not been yet?" And Sean said, "Well, I don't think we've been to Long Beach." I said, "Well, hey, let's go to Long Beach. It's about 30 minutes south of L.A. So we hopped on the freeway, got up real early, hopped on the freeway, wasn't much traffic, went down to Long Beach, got off, went down, and Long Beach is a beautiful town there, just south of L.A. Drove up, going down, and there was all of these hundreds of people all down by the harbor there. And Sean said, "Wow, we picked a good day to go. They're having a festival." I said, I'm driving. I'm like, "Sean, look." And she's like, "What?" I said, "Look at the flags. The rainbow flags." It was the gay weekend down there at Long Beach. So anyway, we did find a little spot that wasn't overrun by them. So anyway, we spent our day, and there was a town, as well, when I say town, I'm talking California standards here, okay, called Ontario. And we would go there. There was a huge outlet mall there. We would go there and things, and I began to look at churches in that area. There was none. There's one now, but at that time, there were no churches in this area. And when I say town, Ontario is a town, it's about the size of Fayetteville. Not one Baptist church in the whole town of 200,000 people. So my mind's spinning, okay? My mind's spinning. And the Brewers know exactly what I'm talking about. And Chris knows what I'm talking about. But I began to think, wow, it would be neat for someone to start a church here. It'd be really neat. So we got back, and I walked into Tim Rasmussen, who was our co-pastor at that time, and I said, "Brother Tim," I said, "would you support me if I was to go to Ontario, California, and start a church?" He said, "Sure. We'd love that. We would love to support you." So then I called Pastor Bird at Berea, and I said, can I meet with you next time I'm in town?" He said, "Sure." I said, "Would you be my sending church for me to start a church in Ontario?" He said, "Sure, we'll do that. We'll support you. We'll do all that." Well, make long story short, I quit my job in 2003 to come back here and to begin to raise money to go back. Well, guess how much money we raised? None. This went on for almost 2 years. Didn't raise one dime. And this was before cell phones had unlimited calls. I had a phone bill of almost $300 one month of calling pastor after pastor after pastor after pastor. And either they would not answer their phone or, "Sorry," click, hang up. I got lots of hang-ups. You want to know why I have such a heart for missions? It's because I know what they go through. Okay? And maybe the Lord was saying, "I see your heart, Dwayne, but it's not meant for you to go there and start a church. But instead, I've got Lighthouse Baptist Church that in 2012 is going to need a pastor, and you're going to go there, and you are going to, out of that church, you're going to support missionaries. Because I am now beginning to build a heart in your heart for missions." See, when God says no, there's always a better opportunity out there. So let me give you a couple more things here. Letter B, what to do when your dreams are broken. Number one, review what you have without the dream. What do I mean by that? Look and see what you've got. Okay? Yeah, I've got this dream, but I still got it pretty good. Okay? Secondly, resolve to keep on dreaming. Don't, when you have a failure, don't stop. How many has ever seen the life of Abraham Lincoln? It was failure after failure after failure after failure. He would win an election, he would lose re-election. He would win another election, he would win another election, then he would lose a re-election. This went on and on and on and on until finally he got elected what? President. Life is full of failures. You're not going to be successful all the time. You will fail. But the thing is, what do you do with your life when you fail? Do you say, woe is me, I'm done? Or do you just pick yourself up, brush yourself off, move on? Thirdly, reject self-examination. What do I mean by that? Reject feeling sorry for yourself. Okay? Kay Yao said this, the ladies' basketball coach at State that died of cancer a few years ago. She said this. She said, when I fail or when I have a tragedy, she said, I sit by the water of self-pity for about 5 minutes. And then I waller my feet in it. And then I pick my feet out of it and I move on. Reject self-pity. Reject self-examination of possibly, okay, what's wrong with me? Why did I fail at this? Is there, God must be punishing me for something. No, that may not be the case. God just may be closing a door to open up a bigger one, to open up a better door. And then number four, redirect your energies to something else. Okay, I failed at this. God closed this door. Okay, I'm going to go here. Okay? Between 03 and 12, God taught me lots of lessons. He taught me lots of things. And many of those things were very humbling for Dwayne Smith. There was a lot of junk, a lot of pride that God had to get out of Dwayne Smith to prepare him for the pastorate. So redirect your energies to something else. Well, let me give you four applications. I've gone 2 minutes over and I apologize. Number one, God has projects that need to be accomplished. And who's going to do it? All right, let me throw this out to you. Can Dwayne Smith do everything in Lighthouse Baptist Church that needs to be done? No, I can't. I can only do so much. Can Ennis Brewer do everything around the buildings and grounds that needs to be done? No. Thankful for Gerald Foster that when he's in town, I'm not going to go there because I know he listens. I'm very thankful for Gerald. Gerald does so much around here that y'all don't see. Okay? But God has a need and a desire to use you somewhere for Him. Look, we need another couple that can come and help David and Jennifer Hobson in Children's Church. Pastor Ken has stepped up to help out on Wednesdays with the youth, but there are needs there. Okay? See, Loretta can only do so much with the kids. Okay? She can only do so much. So what is it? Say, okay, Lord, where do you want me? Where can you use me? And allow Him to work in and through you to prepare you for that ministry. There's no time to sit, no time to waste. As Pastor Ken always says, we're saved to what? Serve. And number four, Let us be busy doing the things of the Lord. Let us be busy doing the things of the Lord. Okay, let's be busy. Tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, there's going to be some ladies up here painting. They're busy doing the things of the Lord. It is 9 o'clock, right, Faye? You know what I told you?
Yes, sir.
All right. You may want to text me just to make sure I'm on my way. Let's be busy. Let's be busy doing the things of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this study tonight. Father, we love you. Help us, Lord, to be busy at your work. And Father, when you close a door, let us look for other doors that you are opening for your work. And Father, we love you. Thank you for so much. Dismiss us with your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, have a good night.